had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you fastened your own belt and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will fasten your belt for you and bring you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what death he was to glorify God. And after this he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. These words of Jesus to the Apostle Peter were spoken in one of the resurrection appearances of Jesus to his apostles and friends. And Jesus is revealing to them a little at a time that he truly is risen from the dead. Because the apostles had a hard time believing in the resurrection because they knew Jesus died on the cross. They saw him condemned to death and crucified and buried. And then now they're beginning to believe that he's risen from the dead. And Jesus reveals this to them more and more. And after one of these resurrection appearances, during the course of it, Jesus has this dialogue that I just read to you with the Apostle Peter. And the end of that passage talks about how Jesus is, in a way, prophesying how Peter is going to die, saying that Peter will stretch out his hands. And it reminds me of the death of Peter. And we have received from really the sort of passed down history in the church, a story that the Apostle Peter was crucified when he died. And that when he was going to be crucified, he told his executioners that he did not feel worthy to die in the same way that Jesus had died. And so he asked them to put his cross upside down, so he'd be crucified upside down. And we have so many artistic renditions of the crucifixion of Peter. And years ago, I went to Rome, and I was at the Vatican Basilica, the St. Peter's Basilica, and I went on this thing called the Scavi Tour. It's a tour that I think you got to get tickets like 6 months in advance, and they take you very deep down below the crypt of St. Peter's Basilica. And there's a story that probably, I think, in the early 20th century, they were doing some work underneath the basilica, and they discovered these tombstones under the basilica. And there were these rooms that they exposed by doing some excavating work to some of the walls. They started to see these rooms of tombstones all under the basilica, room after room. It was actually a graveyard underneath St. Peter's Basilica. There had been a legend that the remains of St. Peter were beneath the main altar of the basilica. But it became like the stuff of legend, and it wasn't so sure if it was true or if it was just some kind of belief that we like to have, but we weren't sure if it was based on reality. Well, they started going through all of these tombs, not going through the tombs, but going through the rooms, and they discovered that these tombs were mostly pagan tombs. They had pagan religious symbols on them indicating the sort of person who was buried in the tomb. And they would go on to different grave spots, and they started to find Christian tombstones on the certain grave markers because they had Christian symbols on them. And eventually they get to a spot where there is a message written, and it was something like, "He is here," or "Peter is here." And near this spot was a box. And the excavators and the explorers were like, "Maybe this is actually the remains of the Apostle St. Peter." Well, they did some tests on the bones. They opened the box and checked out the bone fragments, and they concluded that there were fragments of bones from every bone in the human body except foot bones. There was everything except the feet. And they did tests on these bones, and they said it was from a man who lived about 2,000 years ago, of Middle Eastern descent, and they said, this has got to be the Apostle Peter. And it turned out that the place of this burial was pretty much directly beneath the main altar of the Basilica. Well, I went on this tour, and we're so low under the Basilica that you can feel the moisture of the earth. It was a very moist environment, and there was a window, and the person who was guiding the tour, he said, through that window, you see that box over there. That's the box that contains what we believe are the remains of the Apostle Peter. And we had some time of silence and other times where the tour guide was kind of narrating some history of stuff. And I wasn't actually paying attention to the tour guide anymore. I had this sense of wonder and awe in the presence of the remains of the Apostle Peter. And it was kind of profound for me because something came to my heart at that moment. I kept saying to myself interiorly this phrase, he saw him, he saw him. I kept saying that over and over again, he saw him, he saw him. And I was thinking about how I had been to the shrines of many saints and prayed at their tombs or where their remains were, but here was a man who actually saw Jesus. He wasn't someone who believed in Jesus from centuries after Christ had walked the earth, but he saw Jesus. And I kept saying that, he saw him. Peter saw Jesus. He saw his presence. He felt his presence. He saw his miracles, heard his voice, saw his eyes, and heard his teaching, and saw him in resurrection. And that was so profound for me that here before me was someone who actually knew Jesus personally and had that living witness of his resurrection. And Peter is a very interesting study in the profound effect of the resurrection on the followers of Jesus. Amazing effect on Peter. Before the resurrection, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And after that, he affirmed his love for him 3 times, and many more times in his own witness. Before the resurrection, Peter had lots of doubts about the power and presence of Jesus. After the resurrection, he's got a lot of faith. And he's got a faith that's based not on wishful thinking, but it's based on reality, and he knows it. Before the resurrection, Peter was very weak and often afraid. After, he's strong and he's courageous. Actually, in one part of the Acts of the Apostles, we have a witness of the strength of Peter. He was told by this group called the Sanhedrin to never mention or preach in the name of Jesus ever again. Now, the Sanhedrin at the time was a very powerful institution. It was the same crowd of people who had brought about the crucifixion of Jesus. A very corrupt group. And not because they were part of the Sanhedrin, but they were people who in their own personal lives had stopped following the will of God. But they had a lot of power, and they had a lot of say over how things went in the society. And they told Peter, don't you dare preach the gospel any longer. And Peter's response was almost instinctive. He just said, we have to obey God rather than men. And he continued to preach the gospel of Christ. Peter should have been afraid of the Sanhedrin. He should have been like, wow, I don't want to get called to a meeting with these people because they got power over me and others. They could cause all kinds of trouble. We've seen it before. We saw it in the life of Jesus. He wasn't afraid. He said, I'm not going to follow these guys. I'm going to follow Christ. And that gives us a sort of interesting perspective on the idea of obedience. We want to be obedient to the Lord Jesus. That's what the Apostle Peter wanted, and that's what he did in his life. But it required him to be disobedient to things that went against the teaching of Jesus. He would not obey what the Sanhedrin told him to do. So sometimes we think that we just have to be obedient and not rebel against any position of authority. That's not true. If the position of authority has gone bad, you've got to stand up against it. That's what Peter did. He wanted to obey Christ. So We have in our own lives situations where we have to obey things and disobey things. We have to obey the voice of Christ. But there are many confusing and contrary voices that go against the voice of Christ, the voice of truth. For example, the voice of temptation says, go ahead, commit that sin. It's not going to be the end of the world. The sky won't fall. And it's not a sin to begin with anyway. Or maybe sin doesn't matter. We have to disobey that voice. Instead, we have to obey the voice of Jesus who says, repent, for the God's kingdom is at hand. We got to try to disobey the voice of temptation. Otherwise, we'll listen to it and we'll start little by little, get off the right track. The voice of fear says to us, you don't have the strength to do the right thing. You don't have the strength to stand up for what is right or to do what is right in your own life. Well, the voice of Jesus says, do not be afraid. Have courage. I have conquered the world. Oftentimes, we're in situations where we know what's right. We know that something going on around us is wrong. And we feel like we should stand up against it and stand up for what is right. But we're afraid. We're afraid of some kind of retaliation. We might even get threatened. We can't listen. We cannot obey that voice of fear. Otherwise, the presence of Christians in this world will have no effect on the world around us. We cannot give in to the voice of fear, but we must disobey it. Instead, obey the voice of God, who says, do not be afraid. The voice of despair tells us, you are no good. You're a total failure. You're not going to make it in life. Everything you've done has turned into a disaster. You're nothing. Well, the voice of that is something we have to disobey. We have to obey the voice of Jesus, who says, I have called you friends. That's who we are. We're friends of the great King. We're not failures. If we're faithful to Christ and we can begin again in that fidelity, we are on the right path, the path of victory. And finally, the voice of death tells us that in the face of death, death is stronger than life and all is lost. There is no more hope. Well, we have to disobey that voice and obey the voice of Jesus, who says, if you believe in me, you will never die. And even if you die, you shall live forever. So the Apostle Peter gives us an example of how our obedience to Jesus Christ calls us to be disobedient to a lot of voices, a lot of demands that put us against Christ if we follow them. Jesus is risen from the dead, and that resurrection gives the apostles, Peter and his friends, a real strength to recognize that it's best for them to obey Jesus. And you know, for Peter, one of the things that became the foundation of his courage was his love of Jesus. You see, when Jesus said to him, do you love me, do you love me, do you love me? Jesus was teaching him, and to him, all of us, that our religious life is all about this living relationship, this relationship to Jesus Christ. And Peter understood that intuitively. So when the Sanhedrin and any other crooks like them told him not to teach what Jesus taught, he found it so easy to disobey them because he wanted to obey his master. We come to a deeper experience of this living relationship to Christ when we receive the sacraments and when we pray. I encourage you to make sure you have some time each day to pray, because if your prayer life is zero, then your relationship life to Jesus pretty much is going to be near zero or maybe below zero. We got to work on that life of prayer and receiving the sacraments. So brothers and sisters, in this Easter time of resurrection, we base our faith in Christ on the fact that he is risen as he promised. His voice is the voice of truth. It's the voice of eternal wisdom, and we have to follow it. Let us listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd Jesus. His voice is the one that leads us to eternal life. God bless you.